Where the Legends Play, Willie 1550 and 98.7. Hello there, I'm Kenny Graves, and a pleasure to have on the phone with me an Academy of Country Music Top Female Award winner and also Female Vocalist of the Year, Billboard's number one country female artist in 1982. She had BMI's Song of the Year in 1983 for most airplay. She performed a command performance for President Ronald Reagan in 1986. She has released 20 singles, including 10 top 10 hits and 2 number ones. And I had a big old crush on her when I was a young man, but my wife knows about that, so it's okay. I'm talking about Sylvia Jane Hutton, known better to country music fans as Sylvia. Miss Sylvia, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
I'm hanging in there best I can. I've been a fan all your career, like I said, so it's a real pleasure. Thank you for taking the time.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm glad to talk with you and to talk with your audience out there.
Yes, ma'am. So let's just go through this chronologically. You began performing in church around the age of 3 years old, so probably one of your first memories. I'm just curious, what music and or artists influenced you as a young lady?
Oh, well, I grew up listening to country music. My father is from Tennessee. He's from Macon County area in Lafayette. And so we would come down to Lafayette to visit my grandparents when I was a kid, often, at least once a month. And we were always listening to the Grand Ole Opry in the car. So those really are my first memories of listening to music.
That's a good way to start out, isn't it?
It sure is.
Okay, well, you made your way to Nashville. You signed with RCA Records in 1979 and had your first top 40 hit, You Don't Miss a Thing. And what was it like to reach that milestone as an artist to make it onto the chart?
Well, it was very amazing. It's all I've ever thought about was being a singer when I grew up and moved to Nashville right out of high school. So it was. You know, you would think it'd be surreal, but it was exciting, and it just felt like everything I'd ever dreamed was coming true.
That's right. And then in 1980, you released your first full-length album, Drifter, and it spawned another top 40 hit, along with 4 top 10s, and of course, your very first number one hit, Drifter. What was that like?
Oh, wow. That was just, I really felt like I was on my way at that point, and it really started off this phase where I spent a lot of time touring out west, especially in Texas.
The Lone Star State is a hub for great music.
Yeah, the first top, yes it is, and the first top 10 I had was a song called Tumbleweed, which came out right before Drifter. And so, you know, that really kind of planted me square in the middle of doing all the club dates in Texas for the first few years I was on the road.
That gets you seasoned, right? I guess working
sure
in Texas.
Did.
Yes, ma'am. And something I found really interesting, your early music videos were produced by Mark Ball, and you had one of, if not the very first, conceptual country music video with the Matador, and you did a lot of music videos at a time when a lot of country artists were not. So what was it that made you decide to use that medium at that time?
Well, you know, MTV had really hit it big, and it had not hit in the country music genre that much. So, you know, it was bubbling under, and it was just bound to happen, and I just happened to be at the right place at the right time, and RCA was very progressive in their thinking about promoting music, and so they said, let's do this, and so, yeah, we did a concept video on the Matador.
And you were at the forefront of what became a big deal in country music, but you were one of the early chargers on that, so congrats. Somebody had good foresight there.
Yeah.
Okay, then your second album, Just Sylvia, delivered one of country music's most enduring songs, a 2 million copy seller called Nobody. And now, how did you find that success right there, and how did your life change after it was released?
Oh, good questions. Well, we were in the process of recording the second album, the Just Sylvia album, and Kai Fleming and Dennis Morgan were very successful songwriters and good friends of mine because I worked at the publishing company that they wrote at for 4.5 years, so I knew them well. I was in the studio that day recording my last session for that second album when Kai Fleming and Dennis Morgan rushed into the offices at Pygia Music where I worked and said, hey, we just finished the song and we think it's a hit and you need to sing it and let us sing it for you. In fact, they had not even demoed it yet. They had not put it down on tape. They just sang it for me live. I learned it immediately, and we recorded it that afternoon. And actually, the vocal that you hear on the record is the vocal we did that afternoon in the studio.
That's nearly unheard of, isn't it?
It kind of is. I mean, it was just very magical, and we all felt that something was really special about that song.
Well, lightning in a bottle, best way to describe that, probably.
Yes.
Now, after the end, towards the end of the mid part of the 80s, you kind of stepped away from music. You want to talk about that?
Yes, I wanted to devote time to develop more deeply into songwriting. And so I decided to get off the road and really kind of hunker down and write with some of my favorite writers like Craig Bickhart and Verlin Thompson. And actually, I'm recording a project songs that I wrote with Verlin many years ago that should come out later this year. But I really wanted to write and develop as an artist, which is kind of hard to do when you're on the road 250-some days a year.
Very true.
So I'm really glad that I did it. And I ended up deciding to become an independent recording artist at that point. So I made my first independent record in 1996 on my own record label called Red Pony Records.
And you still have Red Pony today, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, I've put out two new singles since 2016. I put out an album called It's All in the Family. And then in 2018, I recorded Second Bloom, The Hits Reimagined, which yep. I went back in and re-recorded a lot of the hits that I had back in the 1980s in kind of a fresh new way.
Okay, let's step back to 2011 and your It's mm-hmm. All in the Family album, because you co-wrote or wrote nine of the tracks on that album. So if you were growing as an artist, I suppose that was where you wanted to get. What was that personal project like for you?
This record, It's All in the Family, feels like it is, so far, really the album that really expresses me best. And I'm so proud of these songs. I co-wrote these songs, most of them, with Tom Schuyler and John Mock. And John Mock is the co-producer I've been working with since, you know, the early 90s. And it feels like it's a mature record that is really a reflection of how I see the world and how I feel about relationships and you name it.
And you can express all that since you're from conception through recording, it's all you.
Yeah, and there's a beautiful freedom in that, but I would not go back and change the 80s for anything, because it gave me the leverage to be able to go in and have my own label and record at the level that I'm recording now. So I'm grateful for it all.
Okay, and then in 2018, you mentioned Second Bloom, The Hits Reimagined. So how was the process of rediscovering and re-recording some of your classic hits?
It was so much fun, and it was so creative. I wanted to keep what was core to the sound and the production values of the original, but I also wanted to bring in the production values that I very much embrace now, that's a little bit more of an acoustic take on things. And, you know, I think I really have grown as an artist over the years, and I wanted to bring my perspectives, which you can't help but do when you sing these songs at this point in time. So everything felt brand new.
Yeah, and you're able to stretch your creative legs, as it were.
Yes, and I was real clear that I did not want to make the songs real different than the original, but I wanted to freshen them up and bring a new energy to them.
All right. And now something else I wanted to ask about. You're also a personal and professional development coach. Tell us what that's about.
Well, about 20 years ago, I discovered coaching as a profession, and I had really hit a wall, in a sense, with my music career, because back in the mid to late 90s, it was difficult to, as an independent recording artist, to get the word out about your music. So I was having a lot of trouble making it happen, you know, to get to connect with the fans. So I just kind of sat still for a while and said, okay, what else is the world asking of me and life is asking of me? And long story short, I heard about coaching, and it felt like such a fit for me. I was inspired to go to California and take training to become a certified life and career coach, and now I call myself a personal and professional development coach.
It's a good
and,
title.
And really what I do is I help people move through changes in their life and hopefully in a more smooth, thoughtful, conscious kind of way.
Very interesting. All right. And you also, I read, you support some projects that are near and dear to your heart. We've got the Crossroad Pets and the Nashville mm-hmm. Food Project, if you want to speak on either one mm-hmm. of those.
Oh, those are just wonderful projects here in Nashville locally. I've actually worked on the board of other nonprofit agencies, and what's really interesting is that these people that work in the nonprofit world can really benefit from coaching because it is a really challenging life path. And so over the years, as I've done this coaching work, I've coached a lot of people that work in nonprofit agencies.
Oh, yeah, because that's a niche thing. It really is. And people need a lot of guidance.
Yes.
Okay, and you've got
we all do. We all need guidance. I really value the idea of having someone to talk to, bounce ideas off of, that will ask you the questions that are going to get you to change, the changes that you want to make in your life.
That's right. Just a little beacon to guide you along.
Yeah, you know, I think often we all get stuck, you know, and I think sometimes it's because we keep asking the same questions over and over. And sometimes a coach can bring a new perspective and ask new questions to help you get to the answers that you want to get to.
Yeah, they'll see it with fresh eyes.
Yeah, they're not, and a coach is not emotionally entangled in whatever you're dealing with. So it's easier to have perspective. And a coach that's a very good fit for you is creating a safe space in which you can explore and find the answers that you're looking for.
All right. Well, if they can find out more about your coaching and about what's going on with this new album, tell them how they can learn about you.
Well, if you want to find out about my music, you can go to sylviamusic.com. Pretty easy to remember.
Yes.
And you can actually listen to short clips from all of my last four albums, actually. And so you can read my bio and see pictures and see my tour schedule, which is kind of slim at this point because of the virus. But we're out there touring when things are opening up. In fact, I'm going to be in Greenville, Texas on July 18th. And, of course, everybody would need to check to be sure it's still on. But right now, we're planning to be in Greenville at the Texan.
Oh, the Texan. Okay. And that's just east of Dallas, about 40 miles. And then we're down just north of Houston, just a little ways. So it's not a bad trip to go up.
No, not bad at all. And they have a beautiful facility there. It's an old theater that has been refurbished. And it's just, I mean, it's like a museum. It's just a beautiful, beautiful space and wonderful food. It's a dinner theater, so you can have dinner and watch a show. And I'm sure they're doing the social distancing thing so you can be safe.
Make a great date night for a couple.
Yes, it would.
I'm sure my wife will remind me of that. So maybe we'll see about that, July 18th. And hopefully we'll get you down here a little bit closer to our neck of the woods. We'd love to have you and see you live in person. But Miss Sylvia, thank you so much. It was a true pleasure.
Oh, same here.
All right, for the wonderful Sylvia, I'm Kenny Graves here on Willie 1550 and 98.7.